I am especially nervous this morning. I don't know why. I woke up this morning and I got my cup of coffee like normal. And as I was in there kind of finishing up my studying and praying and making sure that I was on the right path, what I felt like God wanted me to preach this morning, I went in there and told Autumn, I said, I'm either going to have to quit drinking coffee or I'm just absolutely nervous. I said, I feel like I got the jitters on the inside this morning. And I'm actually just really nervous this morning, this time of year, and when you're trying to preach and match the excitement that we should have about Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas, and you're trying to match that with the way that you deliver a message, man, that gets really tough. And I never feel like that I preach God's word the way that it needs to be preached, but I'm so thankful for the opportunity. And no more than I had got that out of my mouth this morning, somebody from church texted me and said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Pray that God just bless you in your preaching today. Man, how God knows just to work in people's hearts. And I'm thankful for some people who are sensitive to that and send texts and different things. And I really appreciate that. But this morning, I think one reason that I'm especially nervous is I'm doing something that I usually don't do. And that is I am setting goals for your response to the message this morning. Normally, I do not do that. I have learned that I can't come in here and preach a message and go, I'm gonna dictate the success of this message on the response of the people in the sanctuary. Because sometimes when I think y'all should be jumping up and down and waving your arms and screaming and shouting and everything else, y'all looking at me. And then sometimes when we get done and I think, man, I just failed. That was the worst message I ever preached. I get texts all during the week. Thank you for the message. It was so powerful. It was so good. So I have learned not to dictate the success of a message on the response of the people listening to the message. First of all, you might be looking at Facebook right now. You might be playing on your phone. Some of you might be playing on your computer. The digital media team's really bad for that. I don't know if y'all remember that or not, but anyway, so I try not to dictate the success of a message, but this morning, I am dictating the success of this message on your response. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do for us, God. We thank you for everything that you do. God, I know that you can calm my nerves, God, that you can help my mind as I try to preach this morning. God, I pray, dear Father, that we'll always come into this place just asking you to move in our lives. God, asking you most of all to deal with someone that may be lost. And God, help us always to give you glory in everything that we do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. No, I'm not expecting you to run around the church this morning. Not expecting you to, hey, I really like it. If you got a white hanky and you want to wave it after a while, I like it. That looks good to me. But here's what I am basing, here's my goal this morning. Normally, like I told you, I don't set goals. My goal is that when you leave here this morning and you walk out that back door, that you say, wow, what a message. Wow, what a message. Anybody see why I'm nervous now? I mean, I've set some high expectations for this. Wow, what a message. So in order to do this, I went back and I found a message that had been given in recent history. I'm going to say recent history, not really. It's way back in 1965. Y'all with me, church? Come on, you got to be with me this morning or we're not going to get nowhere. All right, so way back in 1965, before I was ever born, I was born in 81, just in case anybody wants to know. Way back in 1965, this message was delivered. And I've went back and I have studied this message this week. I have listened to this message. And I'm going to do my best to preach this message the same way that it was delivered the first time. And normally I don't do that because I come with this goal in mind when I come to preach. Most of the time my goal is to follow God's leadership for the message and to be able to present the gospel. Well, today I still want to follow God's leadership. I still want to present the gospel, but I want you to leave thinking, wow, what a message. And the only way that I know to do that is try to deliver this message the same way that it was delivered way back in 1965. But in order for you to understand where I'm coming from this morning, I got to set the scene for you from back in 1965. Back in 1965, there was a young man who about this time of year was struggling with his excitement about Christmas time. He was actually maybe in a place that he was feeling kind of depressed about Christmas time. And he was looking around and it seemed like everyone around him was excited about the time of year. He noticed that everyone else around him was happy. Everyone else was smiling and singing and dancing, but somehow he felt depressed on the inside. He felt empty on the inside. Even in the middle of all the joy going on around him, he still felt depressed and empty on the inside. I feel like this year, maybe in the middle of 2020, in the middle of a pandemic, that there are some people who, even sometimes Christmas time is hard anyway, sometimes for some people. But I also feel like maybe this year that everything has been so different that people have got their minds on other things and they've got their minds on this and that, and we can't do this and we ain't supposed to do that, and we're going to go hide and do this so that nobody knows that we're doing this. But we're doing all this stuff and we're kind of in a place that Christmas feels different this year. And maybe like this young man was, he is experiencing a time of depression or an experience of a lack of joy in the middle of joy going on around him in a time that everything else is supposed to be happy. He was experiencing a time of emptiness and loneliness in the middle of it. He got so bad that he went to seek professional help. He went to a psychiatrist. And as he went to the psychiatrist, it seemed like the psychiatrist wanted nothing more than his money and to be able to label him with some kind of condition. All the questions led up to, are you afraid of this? And are you afraid of that? And just wanting to kind of label him with some kind of condition. So as he left the psychiatrist that day, he decided that he was going to try some self-help. He decided that he was going to get involved in the season and try to get himself to a place that maybe if he would get involved in the things that was going on around him, that maybe he could come out of this feeling of emptiness, that he could come out of this depression that he was in. So this young man decides to get involved, and he decides that he's going to lead a Christmas play. He's going to be the director of a Christmas play. So as he goes to be the director of this Christmas play, and he begins to study the script and he begins to lay it out, man, everybody, especially Shannon, knows what joy leading a Christmas play can bring. She's amening up there. Man, what joy you can get from being the director of a Christmas play. And as he goes and he begins to direct this Christmas play, during this process, he finds that his friends are self-centered, that they're spoiled little brats, and they find temporary satisfaction in the tangible things of this life. Christians, let's be careful that, first of all, that we're not self-centered, that we're not spoiled little brats, and that the only satisfaction that we get is from the tangible things that's in this earth, because the Bible tells us that all of this one day is going to be eat up in a fervent heat, and there's only one thing that's going to last for all eternity, and that is your soul. And be sure that you're finding your joy and your peace in Jesus Christ. Be sure that you have invested in your eternity by coming to know Jesus Christ and knowing that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But as this young man finds out, all of his friends are self-centered, spoiled little brats, and it's all about what they want, and it's all about the tangible things that they can have. We need to be very careful that in the middle of all this Christmas excitement that we have going on, that we don't teach our kids that happiness is in tangible things of this earth. That tangible things, they come and they go, but the joy of Jesus Christ lasts forever and ever, and we should always point our kids to Jesus Christ. It's okay to have the fun of Christmas. It's okay to have the gifts. It's okay to have the presents. It's okay to do all of those things, but be sure that we're not teaching our kids that joy comes from having things, because true joy comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But he finds out that all of his friends, they're only happy when they're having the tangible things of this life, that they're self-centered and spoiled little brats, and it's a temporary satisfaction. As they continue with directing this Christmas play, his friends continue to point out all of his flaws. His friends continue to make fun of him. His friends continue to be that spoiled, rotten little brat that they are. And they begin to just bring him down further and further and further. There's even a time that the Christmas play needs a Christmas tree. And he goes out and he finds what he feels like is the perfect Christmas tree for the Christmas play. And he brings it in. And all of his friends begin to laugh and make fun of his little Christmas tree that he goes and he picks out. And they all just laugh and they walk away from him. And this young man becomes so disturbed, he becomes so tormented by this, that he loses his cool. I think I've seen Shannon at that point one time before. She didn't lose her cool, but I think she felt like it. And I would say, amen, sister. I know what you're feeling sometimes. This young man, he loses his cool. He loses it after everything that he's been through. He's trying to get out of this pit that he's in. And at the end of it, he loses his cool and he shouts a question. Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And that set the stage for a great sermon that was preached in 1965. Some of you figured this out. I'm talking about a Charlie Brown Christmas. Some of you have figured out 1965, Charles Schulz wrote a Charlie Brown Christmas. And man, this week I really have studied a Charlie Brown Christmas. I want y'all to know that. I've studied my Bible too, but I've studied a Charlie Brown Christmas. And as you go back and watch that and you think, you know, back in 1965, not that long ago, I'm going to give you the message that a great preacher stood and preached on center stage. A preacher that I only know by his first name, Little Linus. And as Linus walks out to center stage with his blankie, and he pulls his thumb out of his mouth and he says, "Lights, please." And he begins to tell what Christmas is all about. And he begins to share with Charlie Brown where real joy and real happiness and real peace can come. Ain't it amazing that just that many years ago in 1965 that we had cartoon characters reciting the King James Version of the Bible on TV? And look where we're at now. Man, it's a shame where we're at now. There's not a network anywhere that would pick up a cartoon character that would go out and recite verses from the King James Version of the Bible that explain what Christmas is really about. That's the reason that it's up to you and I, Christians, to go out here and give the gospel and let other people know that Jesus is the reason of the season, that Jesus is the cause of joy, that Jesus is the way to have peace and happiness. But more than that, Jesus is the way to be redeemed, to have forgiveness of your sins, to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and for all eternity know where your soul is going to spend in heaven. But as we come to the message that was preached by Little Linus, Luke chapter number 2, let's begin reading in verse number 8. I hate to copy another man's ministry, another man's message, but I believe Linus is okay with this. I couldn't get a hold of him to ask him, but let's go for it anyway. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, fear not." You know, in a time in our life when a lot of people are afraid, George was asking me just before service today, he said, if everybody is so afraid of this virus, why don't they turn to Jesus Christ and get the eternity settled and they don't have to be afraid anymore? And that's the day and time that we're living in. But look, as the angel comes to the shepherd, here the angel says, Gabriel says, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." As Linus stood there on the center stage and recited these verses, and he gave these verses back to Charlie Brown about what the true meaning of Christmas is, I want you to know this morning that if we have gotten away from this, about what the true meaning of Christmas is, that we're missing the boat, that we're missing the mark, that the only thing that we need to be concentrating on is the gift that was given to us in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life here in Jesus Christ, that he left his home in glory, that he come here to the earth as a little baby. He could have come as a king, but he decided to humble himself. He became flesh for you and I. What a gift we've been given in Jesus Christ. He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." In verse number 11, I'm glad as Linus stood there on center stage as he delivered this message of what Christmas was all about, I'm thankful for verse number 11. As we look at verse number 11 this morning, I want you to know, as we look at this verse, as these angels appeared here to the shepherds out in the field. See, Linus wasn't the first to preach this message. Linus wasn't the first to deliver this message. Let's go all the way back to the first time that this message was delivered, as the angels appeared to the shepherds there. And the Bible tells us that the angel appeared and said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. that as the shepherds were out there, hey, these guys lived a life of solitude. These guys were out there all by themselves, just them and their sheep. And then all of a sudden, one night, an angel shows up in the middle of the sky and says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you..." The angel could have said, "You know what? I want you to know there's been a baby born, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. Now, he's not maybe for you, but he's for the rich people that are here. He's for the people who live in this place. He's in the people that have this last name." But as these shepherds right here living a life of solitude, away from everyone else, and the angel appears to them and says, "For unto you..." And I want you to know, church, right here is the greatest message that could ever be preached. The greatest message that you can ever hear is Jesus Christ came for you. Jesus Christ came for me individually, on an individual level, that Jesus Christ come to you. As the angel gives that message and says, "For unto you is born, for unto you a child is given." As we look here in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The greatest message that's ever been preached, as these angels deliver the message, "For unto you is born." Church, I don't know if y'all getting that or not. I'm not worthy of this gift that was given. I'm not at all worthy for Jesus Christ to come and give his life for me. I'm not worthy at all for somebody to deliver a message to me that says, "Josh, it's for you. I've got some good presents in my life. I've got some good gifts in my life. There's been some great things that have happened in my life. But the greatest thing that ever happened is the night at 7 years old when I realized the gift that was given unto me in Jesus Christ, and forgiveness came for my sins, that I received the best friend that I've ever had, a friend that said, 'I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you,' a friend that said, 'I love you so much that I gave my life for you, that I want to spend all eternity for you, and even though that you may not live for me, that I want to save you, and I want you to be one of my children, that I want to be with you always, that I want to spend eternity with you.' That's the greatest gift that I've ever received, is the gift of Jesus Christ." Can you imagine the night there when the angel appeared and said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord"? I can't imagine that message, but you know, I remember the message that I heard. I remember, and listen, my message is from the Holy Spirit. Some of you can say, "Well, I remember who was preaching the night that I got saved." I want you to know, there may have been a man preaching that message. There may have been a man speaking that night, but I want you to know where the real message was coming from, and that was from the Holy Spirit. That was from God himself that made a special appearance. Can you imagine these shepherds sitting out there? I mean, they just laid back, solitude, nothing else going on. "Hey, y'all see what that sheep did today?" I mean, really, that was the best story they had. "That one sheep, he went over yonder and fell down." I mean, it was the best thing they had going on in their life. And then all of a sudden, the heaven opened up. All of a sudden, the heaven opened up, and there was an angel that said, "Fear not." Can you imagine? You remember what's going on in your life? At the time that God sent his sweet Holy Spirit and come knocking at your heart's door and said, "Listen, I want you to know, unto you that child was born. It was for you that Jesus Christ come into this earth. It was for you that he lived here on this earth. It was for you that he gave his life on the cross. It was for you that he was resurrected on the third day. And it's going to be for you that he's coming back one day. I'm thankful for the message that was given unto me. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It wasn't that I'm going to save the important people. It wasn't that I'm going to save the royal people. It wasn't even that I'm going to save the worthy people. Thank God. Thank God that it wasn't for good people. Thank God that it wasn't for people of a certain financial status. Thank God that it wasn't for certain people who lived in a certain district. Thank God it wasn't, let's go right here. Thank God it wasn't for a people of a certain color or a certain race. But he said, "For unto you is born." See, it's not about my message. I don't want you leaving here today saying, "Man, what a message Josh preached." I want you to leave here today saying, "Wow, what a message that God sent when that angel appeared and said, 'For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" And suddenly, I can't imagine this. Hey, let's go back in time. We went all the way back to 1965. Now let's go back a little further. These guys sitting here and they just got the greatest message in the world. The heavens opened up. Here come this angel telling them how wonderful of a gift that was born into them. And then look right here, verse number 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This Christmas season that we're in, I want you to realize and I want you to remember that no matter what kind of pandemic may be going on, that no matter what kind of election results you wanted and didn't get or got and didn't want, I don't know what the case is. I don't know your personal beliefs, but at any rate, no matter what kind of situation your mind may be in, no matter what kind of fear you may be thinking about, or you may have a little doubt about the future, let me give you this, that nothing will ever change. Verse number 11, for unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is King. It was for you and it was for me. That this message, wow, what a message that we were given in verse number 11, for unto you. When God showed that to me this week, and I went back and I actually began to listen to little Linus give these lines. Man, they don't make Christmas cartoons like that anymore, do they? They don't make them like that. But little Linus gets up, and he gives this message. And then at the end, what happens? You see the whole group, including Charlie Brown, standing out there singing, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. You want a difference made in your life? You want a difference made in your kid's life? Hey, we make all kinds of recognitions. Man, I've been seeing these young kids on Facebook this week and in previous weeks of kids who are committing to colleges to go play football, of kids who are committing to go play softball, of kids who are doing, and man, those accomplishments are awesome. That's great. I'm proud of you. For some who have chosen a different path and maybe in the military, I'm proud of you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But I want to tell you something. There is nothing more important than you can do than to choose to give your life to Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important than that. This gift was given to you. And no, I can't preach it as good as Linus did. Because if you go back and you watch that and you watch little Linus as he drags his little security blanket out there to center stage, and he takes his thumb out of his mouth and he begins to deliver this message, when he gets to the point that he says, fear not, go back and pay attention. He drops his little security blanket because the only security you need is in Jesus Christ. That's what you need. In the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a world that seems to be in fear, and you say, well, preacher, ain't you afraid? Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to contract the virus and give it to somebody who really struggles with it. I don't want anybody to suffer with this virus. I don't want anybody to end up in the hospital. I don't want the healthcare system overloaded. Look, I didn't have any intention of talking about COVID this morning, but here, that's where we're living right now, ain't it? But you know what? God knew we was going to be dealing with COVID in 2020 when he formed this world. He knew that when the day that I was born, he knew that 2020 was coming, that COVID would be right here in the middle of it. But you want to ask me if I'm afraid of getting COVID and dying? No, I'm not afraid of that. Now, look, if I get COVID next week, y'all may be at my house saying, preacher, quit crying. Don't be afraid, because I know when you walk through stuff, it's different. I understand that. We can stand here and boast all you want to, but then when real life hits and things happen, sometimes feelings and emotions change. But let me tell you this, that a pandemic or whatever it is that we're dealing with, this virus that we're dealing with, it is nothing, nothing compared to leaving this world without Jesus Christ. If you reject this gift, hey, I've heard some of you say, the day that a vaccine is available to me, I'm going to go get it. And I've heard some of you say, I'll pass. Let me tell you one thing you can't afford to pass on, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the gift. I ain't going to get into all that. Here's what I want you to focus on. There is no better gift than Jesus Christ. I don't know your heart no more than you know mine. You know what? I went to church with people before that if you would ask me if they were saved, I'd have said, absolutely, they're saved. I've seen them sing in the choir. I've heard them read scripture. I've prayed with them, and they're saved. And then there'll be a time in their life when they come to me and said, you know what? I was fooled. I was mistaken. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I need to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Listen to me real quick. Salvation is one thing that you absolutely cannot take a chance on. There's got to be absolutely no doubt in your mind that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's got to be absolutely no doubt that you have received this gift that was born for you. Well, preacher, I don't know if it was for me. Absolutely, it's for you. For unto you, the angel said it. Wow, what a message. For unto you. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, only you and God know your heart. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. I'm not trying to get you to question that, because I believe that God can give us assurance that nobody can make us doubt. However, if you're here this morning and you don't know for a fact that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, don't leave here today without that assurance. Don't leave here and say, you know what? I don't know if it's for me. Because I'm going to tell you, well, preacher, I'm young. I got a lot of life to live. And I want to go have fun. And I want to get into some of the things that the world has. Trust me, you don't want to get into some of the things the world has. I know Satan is good at making those things look fun. Satan is good at tempting us. Satan will tell you all kinds of lies. But let me tell you something. Satan's not going to tell you to never get saved. Satan's going to tell you, just wait, just wait. But there is people of every age slipping out into eternity every single day. You should never, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you should never have to fear dying of COVID or anything else. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, I'd be afraid to walk out those doors and get in my car and head toward the house. Because you never know when eternity is going to be your next breath. Preacher, I'm here and I don't know for sure that I know Jesus Christ. I don't know that I have ever asked Him to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and again into my life. I don't know that today will be the day that I get saved, but I sure don't want to die and go to hell. I sure don't want to leave this life without Jesus Christ. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't say your name. I won't even mention it to you unless you mention it to me. I just want to pray for you. Anyone? Preacher, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. But honestly, right now, things around me are bothering me. Honestly, right now, there might be some feelings in my life. I'm not as joyous about Christmas as I should be. I've got my eyes off of the gift a little bit. Preacher, will you pray for me? Preacher, will you pray that somehow, some way, that in my heart and my mind, that I'll get settled back into, wow, what a message. I see your hand, you put it right back down. I see your hand, you can put it right back down. I see your hand, you put it right back down. Hands all over the sanctuary. Preacher, pray for me. I want to be what God wants me to be, but I'm struggling right now. Anyone else before we pray? I see your hand, you can put it right back down. I see your hand, you put it right back down. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, I pray as we go through this life, God, and things get tough sometimes, things get scary sometimes, things get questionable, God. God, I pray that you'll help us to remember this message in our lives, God. Thank you so much for Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 11, that gift was given for me. And God, when I get my eyes off of that, and when fear creeps in, and God, when I get my eyes off of that and the things that are tangible in this life become important to me, and God, my finances become important, and my situation becomes important, God, I pray that you'll help me to remember that the only thing that's going to last is that relationship that I have with you, that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you that even though I'm so unworthy, that you loved me. God, I just want to thank you and I want to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet, as they sing this morning, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life, and no more than you know where I'm at. But if you're here and you're lost and you just couldn't raise your hand, I want to invite you to come to the altar. If you're here and you're struggling, I want to ask you to come to the altar. Or maybe you're here and you're doing great. Your spiritual strength is strong. Trust me, there's people that need your prayers. And this altar is open.
The waters, storms raging high, the waters around them were trouble that night. Fear filled their hearts. They felt they would die. They failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And He spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. He calmed their storms, just like He will mine. If I just remember that He lives inside, so why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Great it would be to have His footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master. I know He'll get there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention today. I hope that the message was a blessing to you. And listen, I don't care what you think about my preaching. Wow, what a message. I think we accomplished the goal this morning. We can leave this morning and say, wow, what a message. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you.